Well, first of all, the book Surviving Cancer, you talk about it being a new perspective on why cancer happens and key strategies for a healthy life. Why do we need a new perspective on cancer?
We have been trying to find out, ever since we know cancer exists, what actually starts cancer. We know, for example, let me tell you my own story.
Okay.
I was diagnosed with cancer 6 years ago. So I wanted to find out, why did I get it? And I was not happy with the standard answer that improper diet and lack of exercise caused cancer. So I wanted to find out more about it, and I dug deeper. And then I found two things which were very surprising to me. That is, even if you have had treatment, and even if you are considered cured of cancer, whether you are treated with surgery, radiation, immunotherapy, chemotherapy, there can still be cancer cells hiding in the body undetected.
Mm-hmm.
That is number one. So you are never cured of cancer. In
yes.
fact, cancer cells happen in your body every 6 to 10 years normally. That's a natural phenomenon. The second thing is, while you are trying to kill cancer cells by using, say, chemotherapy or immunotherapy on the one hand, on the other hand, you may be feeding the cancer cells without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point in time, if the cancer cell number increases, then you have the cancer back. So the question is, what is your responsibility as a patient to prevent it or survive it? And that is what I have put in the book. And the book is available on Amazon, or those who want to know more about it can go to drjohnoncancer.com.
Now, one of the things that attracted me to the book was something that broke in the news recently. I don't know that it's extremely new, but talking about the fact that they're going to put cancer warnings out for coffee. And a lot of people thought, what, I can't have my morning cup of caffeine? What do you think about this?
Well, that ruling came about because of the chemical called acrylamide that was found in coffee. Let us first look at what is acrylamide.
Mm-hmm.
It is a chemical that in the year 2002 was discovered, and soon after it was found to cause cancer in animals. In 2002, the same year, the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations and the World Health Organization raised concern over the cancer potential of acrylamide ingestion, or eating, or taking it by mouth, because acrylamide was detected in potatoes and coffee beans when they are subjected to high temperature. So naturally, that was a concern. So in 2010, the European Chemical Agency added acrylamide to the list of substances of very high concern in the body. And at the same time, it was also found out acrylamide inhalation through, say, cigarette smoke, or in entry of acrylamide into the body through skin exposure, can indeed cause cancer. So that raised the awareness and the concern even more, what happens if you ingest acrylamide as in drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
However, in 2016, the American Cancer Society declared that it is not clear whether acrylamide consumption increased a person's risk of developing cancer. In the same year, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, after reviewing more than 1,000 human and animal studies, stated it found no conclusive evidence for a carcinogenic effect of drinking coffee.
Hmm.
And in 2016, the Cancer Agency of the World Health Organization moved coffee off its possible carcinogen list. Now, you asked the right question, so let me ask you, let me tell you one more.
Okay.
In 2017, European Journal of Cancer Prevention, after reviewing available evidence on coffee drinking, reported that the overall evidence suggested no association of coffee intake with cancers. And in fact, drinking one cup of coffee per day was associated with reduced risk of liver cancer.
Hmm.
Now, to make it even more interesting, in January of this year, the National Cancer Institute of Italy IRCCS concluded, after reviewing a total of 21 prospective studies, consumption of 4 cups of coffee per day was associated with a 10% reduction in postmenopausal cancer risk.
Then why do they want to put this warning on the coffee? I mean, is it necessary?
Well, you see, on the one hand, we are talking about a chemical which is a known carcinogen.
Right.
So if you are inhaling it, yes, you can have cancer. If you are exposed to it through the skin, you can have cancer. So what about ingestion? If the judge is asking, you have to prove, since this is a known carcinogen, you have to prove that it does not do harm. But on the other hand, more than that, what they are asking is, coffee is beneficial. That is what the judge is asking that for the coffee makers to prove. The route of entry of this compound called acrylamide, if it is through mouth, does it make a difference? So what is interesting about acrylamide is, it is a chemical, when exposed to acid, the acid destabilizes that molecule. So when you drink coffee, what is the acrylamide facing in the stomach? The stomach acid, hydrochloric acid.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately that chemical is destabilized, in my opinion. And once it gets past that, the liver is an organ that detoxifies all the chemicals, because we are ingesting chemicals all the time in our food as an additive, as a preservative, so much food. Chemicals we ingest, but our liver takes care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So between the stomach and the liver, there is practically no acrylamide intact in the blood to cause problem. So if you drink a cup of coffee, and if the offending agent, the acrylamide, is detoxified before it reaches, then what is left with is the good stuff in coffee, like magnesium, B vitamins, niacin, and riboflavin. So my suggestion is, enjoy your espresso, which is what I do at least once a day, every day.
Good. I mean, I enjoy a good cup of coffee as well. Going back to the other question, you practiced for over 30 years, and you've seen a great deal in the treatment of cancer over that time. Where do we need to go to possibly find these cures that have eluded us for so long?
Well, when you say cure, that is a very loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
There are two things you have to consider. One is the formation of a cancer cell in the body, and the second is formation of cancer. A cancer cell can happen because in adults, let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
Every action of the cell, every metabolic reaction in the cell is controlled by a gene. And if you need, cancer is an uncontrolled multiplication of a cell. Why do we need multiplication? We need multiplication, for example, say, to heal a wound. And that's a controlled multiplication. There is a gene in charge of growth activation.
Mm-hmm.
And that gene issues an order, work orders, if you will, and the cells start multiplying. Suppose you need 2,000 cells to cure a wound. And once the 2,000 number is reached, another gene takes over, issues a work order to stop the work, and that's a growth inhibiting gene. Now, if we get 2 copies of each gene, one from the father, one from the mother, they both do exactly the same thing. If one gene is dysfunctional, any dysfunctionality of the gene is called a mutation.
Mm-hmm.
If one gene is dysfunctional, the other gene will take over and the job will be done. However, if both genes are mutated, and if the growth activating gene issues an order for multiplication, there is nobody there to stop it, is it?
Nope.
This is what cancer is. So the question is, why are we having more and more cancers all over the world right now? And interestingly, nature knew the formation of a mutated gene, the formation of a cancer cell, is natural. So nature has put three very powerful mechanisms in our body to prevent uncontrolled growth of a cell. Number one, within each cell, there is a mechanism to cut out mutated gene and put in a new one. Within each cell, there is a gene in charge of apoptosis, which is suicide. If the clearing mechanism of the gene mutation, if that does not work, this gene can issue an order for self-destruct, suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Third, there is an army of white cells called killer cells that can hunt down and kill cancer cells. And these three activities are going on in our body every second, every minute, every hour, all the time. So the question then is, why are we still having more or increasing incidence of cancer in spite of these three powerful mechanisms? My answer is very simple. That is, if you are producing cancer cells at the rate of 2,000 per hour, but if the killer cells can, if the army of killer cells in the body can kill only 1,000 per hour, who wins? That is what is going on in the body. We are feeding cancer cells. Yes, diet, improper diet is a part of it. And what is the nature of that improper diet and how to avoid it is what I'm saying in my book.
Well, I think the book is well worth buying and passing along to people that you really care about. It's Surviving Cancer, A New Perspective on Why Cancer Happens, and Your Key Strategies for a Healthy Life. Doctor, you're fascinating to speak to. I wish we had more time, but I think if people pick up the book, they'll find a lot of answers they'll be looking for. And tell us again your website and where to buy the book.
The book is available on Amazon, and the website is drjohnoncancer.com. And Kelly, I thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure, and I hope we can speak again soon.
Thank you.